You are now experiencing the teaching ministry of Pastor Richard Martin of Life Community Church, located in Arlington, Texas.
That Jesus speaking to his disciples, he says, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me." So I'm just stop there for half a second. That's the title of today's message as we continue in this series, Kingdom Life. Worthy of me. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross, depending on your translation, and follow after me is not worthy of me. Verse 39, he who finds his life, that word there is really translated, he who finds his psyche in the Greek, psyche means your mind, he who finds his mind will lose it. Meaning he who is seeking after his mind in terms of material gain, things of that nature, you're going to get lost in the sauce of the next pursuit. But he who loses his mind for my sake will find it. Are y'all tracking?
Yeah.
So when he talks about your soul, this is what he trained your soul, which is your mindset, your thinking, your reasoning, your emotions. Without me, if it's not subject to me, it's not subject to what I want you to do, then you're going to just go by you doing what you want to do. And you know, from day to day, in your mind and in your soul, your reasoning, your emotions and things like that, you can be on a roller coaster. Anybody ever start off on a good day? Hey, this is a great day. And then that one thing happened. Is that me? That one person cut you off? And you just finished having devotional and telling God how much you love him, and then you drop that word that shouldn't have come out when it came up. Then you try to catch it, but nope, it was too late. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? So this whole issue of your soul, the Lord is saying that has to be, you've got to lose that. Are y'all tracking with me? We said last week that the process of you losing it from the scripture that we read on last week, the aspect of what does a man, if he gains the whole world and loses his what?
Soul.
His soul. What does it profit a man, if he gains the whole world and yet loses his soul? There is no profit. There is none. Jesus was not being sarcastic. He was just making it very clear. The whole premise of you and trying to live your life and live this life in the soulless realm is not enough to get you through as a believer and unbeliever. It's not enough to get you through what life in general brings to you. It's not enough. You're not smart enough. I'm not smart enough to deal with issues that come into life that I have no control over. I'm not smart enough to be able to come up with a plan to devise how to get myself out of certain situations that I have decided to put myself in. I need Jesus. Are y'all tracking with me? See, our problem is that we look at our world just from the premise of our initial salvation, our initial accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and that's all we have to do. But the Lord is making it very clear, hold on, wait a minute, this issue of you loving father or mother or daughter or son more than me is not worthy of me. What is he talking about here? He's not talking about dismissing your relationships. He's saying that your main relationship has got to be your main relationship before any other relationship.
Yes.
Because if your main relationship, which is with me, is your main relationship and you can focus on that, then all the other relationships will work out. Because I'm going to give you what you need in your soul to contend with all of the other things that happen in this world in relationship. I mean, you can't have a relationship with your car. No. You can't have a relationship with your car. You can't have a relationship with your house. You can't have a relationship with your clothes. You can like those things and you can get those things if you see, but guess what? Once you get it, you on to the next.
Right.
So let me just take a little bit of a rabbit trail here. When we're talking about our life and we're talking about the issue of our life and what that really means, it's about our lives in relationship with others. It's not about stuff. So we can't, when we talk about or have talked about this issue of prosperity in times past and people's pursuit for stuff because that reflects a healthy relationship with God, I'm telling you, no, it doesn't. Because there are people who don't know the Lord that got more stuff than you. And yet they're not happy. Come on now. And there are believers who have been taught and are giving this life that we're in pursuit of. If we get stuff and we're able to get stuff because we prayed for it, you know, you got to see it and then you receive it and all of these things that are taken out of context, we're missing the point of where the stuff is coming from.
Right.
And as easily as it comes, it can go.
Yes.
And we live in a world daily where things come and go. But when you are alive, God is saying, let's focus on what really matters. Because at the end of time, your time or time itself, we have to contend with what we're really accountable for. And that is what we have done with our life.
Amen. Amen.
And he's not talking about your spiritual life because there's nothing in you or I could do about that. That's why Jesus came. Hello? Are y'all tracking? That's why God, the Father, sent the Son, because that one area that you could do nothing about, which was your spiritual death, God said, I can handle that. But we're in relationship with each other. So now that you have gained access into my kingdom and you're still alive, I need you to do now your part with the other part of your life, which is your soul, so that people understand there has been a change in you, starting with what's going on in the natural. Remember, last week we say the natural first, then the
spiritual.
Come on, say it like y'all mean it.
Yes.
Spiritual. Mm-hmm. First, the natural. What we have been doing, we've been hustling backwards. We've been trying to gain all of this knowledge for our spirit, and our spirit is good because of what God did. But in the natural, we still have presented ourselves as, well, I'm a work in progress. Yes, you are. Yes, I am. But are you allowing that work to happen?
Come on.
Why? Because in your soul, that's where, remember we said that that's the area of transaction and transfer in your soul, where you will or you will not decide to do what God says to do. God is not going to force you. He's not going to make you. He's going to allow situations and circumstances that are presented before you to so that you and I can operate in now this new kingdom that he said. There are things that people don't see and that you don't see that are happening, and I'm giving you access into that realm to be able to take care of it there first so that it manifests here.
Come on.
So it begins. Are y'all tracking?
Yeah.
Are y'all with me? Thank you, sweetheart. He who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Those of you who are doing and participating in our Bible study dynamic, that's something for y'all to do some work with. Because God was not saying not to love your father or not to love your mother or not to love your son or not to love your daughter. He's saying that you need to love less those things or those people and love me more.
Right.
If you hadn't wrote this down from last week, write it down now. All of us bear a cross.
Right.
In our scripture of last week, it said you had to deny yourself, what? Take up your
cross.
Take up whose cross?
Your cross.
Whose?
Yours.
I'm not to take up your cross.
My cross.
You're not to take up my cross. Okay. I'm supposed to take up my cross. Okay. You are to take up your cross and do what?
Follow
who?
God.
Follow Christ. Follow Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. So we all have crosses, if you will, as believers. Mm-hmm. As believers to bear. All crosses, write this down. If you hadn't done this last week. All of our crosses, hello, are different, but ultimately they all do the same thing. In other words, your experiences and your challenges and your weight and the things that you go through are unique and specific to you as a believer, but it always will lead all of us to the same place. Where's that place? Definitely kingdom, but let's make it practical. When Jesus bore his cross, he bore his cross to where? Say it loud, sir. Death. It was leading to something dying.
To die, yeah.
What did Jesus die for? Talk to me, y'all. Come on, y'all. He died for everyone sins, right? He bore in his body the sins of the world.
Yes.
Are y'all tracking? Before he did that, but he had to bear the cross. He had to bear the beating, the embarrassment, the shame, the heaviness, the weight of the circumstance, which led him finally to being nailed, his body taking on that, all that on to the cross, so that ultimately that which he bore when he died, it died with him.
Yes.
It was done away with. Say with this with me. At the cross.
At the cross.
So when Jesus now is speaking to us about, if you're going to follow me, you have to bear your cross. It's not just, oh, I'm bearing this burden for the sake of the kingdom. No, you're taking that and you're supposed to be taking that someplace. And you have to be knowledgeable, like Jesus was knowledgeable of where you're going and what needs to happen once you arrive. So the heaviness that I'm carrying, if I'm carrying unforgiveness,
right.
You're not just supposed to be continuing to carry around unforgiveness, talking about God, do something with this, help me. And the Lord is saying, take that, and kill it.
Yes.
Because if you're going to follow me, you've got to start with where I started.
Amen.
This is us all, man. We want the end result. Let's bypass all of that other stuff.
Yeah.
Amen. Y'all, are y'all awake? Yeah. Let's bypass all of the whippings and the beatings and the, let's just, Jesus, you are able. Come on, holler at me. This is because we have been taught and told that once we got saved that all our troubles. But if you read your word, Jesus himself said in the book of John, in this world you will have
trials,
tribulations, trouble. Y'all know it again. Trouble. But be of good
cheer.
Why? Because I have overcome. So in other words, I've set the precedent and the example of how you win. All you got to do, watch this. Come on, girl. Say it. Follow me. Barack Obama. Y'all remember him?
Somewhere.
44th president of the United States, Barack Obama, will be credited as the president who caught and killed Osama bin Laden. But he wasn't the only person in the fight against terrorism, meaning Osama bin Laden wasn't the only person that was represented in terms of this fight in terrorism or against it. He, meaning Osama, was just the leader. He was the point guy. He was the focus. Even, you know, since the towers, everything was like, find this guy, kill this guy, right? So between May 2, 2011, when he was finally captured and killed, in June of 2016, there have been 20 other leaders who have rose up and who have been killed. And all of these leaders, because of this situation with bin Laden and what he was indoctrinating individuals, these people were popping up to take lead, to continue on with these acts of terrorism. But they were stopped. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
This means that although the war was won against the mastermind, the leader was disposed, there are still insurgencies that refuse to give up territory. Jesus ultimately, at the cross, dealt with Satan and his overall power over us, which was death. Are y'all tracking? The reason why he had power over us when it came to death is because if we are separated from God in spirit, when we die, we are ultimately separated from him. And that's a win for Satan.
Yeah.
So what God did through Jesus, he's like, I'm going to take that power from you. And he did. And so whoever says yes to Jesus, in that moment, the Bible says, you are saved. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be
saved.
Come on, y'all. Act like y'all know the word. We occupy a lot of time focused on what we have in terms of, now that I'm saved, I can get to do this, get to do that, get to do this. But we have to understand there's still insurgencies in the spirit that are fighting against and trying to get you back to the place where you say no
yes.
to God. Or there is no God. Satan has ultimately been dealt with, but there are a lot of things that are still allowed so that we understand that the world that we live in and what we see is not the world in its entirety. Are y'all scared? Anybody a little worried about that? There is an unseen world. There's an unseen kingdom. And Jesus speaking to Pilate, he made it very clear. My kingdom is not of this world.
Right.
And those of us who said yes to Jesus, we become citizens of that kingdom, but you can't see it. You can't see it with your mind and your reasoning. You can't see it with your feelings and your emotions only. That there is a translation of you through the word, because the word tells us what the kingdom is, how it operates, and how we are to operate in it. And the only way, listen to me, the only way that we will be effective in operating in the kingdom that supersedes this kingdom, this earthly kingdom, is by the Spirit of God.
Yes.
That's the only way that it happens. Amen. That's the only way that we will be successful in bearing the fruit of the Spirit, by operating in the Spirit. Paul said this in Romans 7. He's like, I recognize that there are two different things going on, two different natures that I'm wrestling with, and I don't understand for me. I don't understand why God allows it, except to say this, because there's a duality to us. He wants us to have victory in the Spirit that's already to translate that into the world that we live in, so that people understand that what we are experiencing is beyond us.
Right.
So when there's somebody who saves that dies, we're sad because we've lost somebody on this side, but we're not ultimately sad. How do you do that? By the Spirit of God, because there's a hope that I have to know that on the other side, I'm going to see that person again.
Yes.
But that can't be just conversation that we're having. That has to be a reality. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying amen.
Amen.
Let me get into this a little bit. First by saying and establishing that I worked on this PowerPoint, and so there it is. Then Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 16:24-25, this was last week's verse, just for those of you who are new. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life, meaning your mind, your soul, some translations say his soul, will lose it. But whoever loses his soul for me, will find it. May God have a blessing to the reading of his word. Here's our scripture on today. In the amplified version of what I read, and he who does not take his cross, expressing, watch this, a willingness to endure whatever may come. Yeah, come on now.
Whatever.
Because listen, remember, our first trip with taking up our cross is to take it to the place of death. So whatever comes along, y'all remember Jesus' story? Do you know what came along before the cross happenstance happened? The pulling of his beard. The flogging, the disrobing him, the embarrassment, the thorny crown. Right? Randy was like, because if you have to consider that, and that was intense, now take up your cross. And God is saying, you have expressing a willingness, I'm down to do this, whenever it may come. And follow me, believing in me, conforming to my example in living. Because remember, Jesus didn't die until what? Until he's saved. Living in example in living, and if need be, suffering or perhaps dying because of faith in me. If you don't do that, you're not worthy of me. So when I go and I read this scripture, I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Jesus, I thought we was good. You died on the cross. The exchange of the death that you experienced means that I have life. And Jesus says, yeah, but now you got to do something with that life. Well, Jesus, I'm going to do it. I'm living. Look at me. I'm good. I'm going to church. I'm reading my Bible. I'm treating people as best as I possibly can. See, y'all playing right now. I'm doing the best that I can, Jesus. But wait a minute, suffering?
Yes.
Perhaps even dying? Hold up. And see, when we read that, we ultimately listen. When we read this, we assume that the dying, it means that, you know, hey, you're going to be killed or martyred for the sake of. But he ain't just talking about that dying. Come on now. He ain't just talking about that physical dying. He's talking about dying to self. Remember in the other scripture that we read, it's this taking up your cross and daily dying to self. And I said to self, self? And self said, And I said, today you're going to die. And self said, Negro, please. I ain't going nowhere. We're going to tell the truth. Self ain't going out so easily. I hear y'all talking. He says this, but if you don't have a willingness to go through this, follow me, and by example, conforming to my example, you're not worthy of me. This is Jesus talking. So worthy of me. I got 3 points that I'm going to pull out of this text of scripture. I want y'all to track with me. Y'all give me a little bit of time. So the first part of being worthy of the Lord is receiving him. John chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, it says he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But to those who would receive him, he gave the right to become sons of God or children of God. Are y'all tracking? So the first part of this aspect of this whole being worthy of the Lord is my relationship with him. The Greek word translates receive is, watch this now, it's not just, oh yes, Jesus, I don't want to go to hell, so I accept you. It translates, I am aggressively taking that which you said belongs to me. Okay, Brittany, so that's your Bible. Hold on to it, because it's your Bible, right? That's your Bible. And the Lord is saying that Bible represents the life that I brought to you. And you're saying you receive it. What he's saying is that there's something that's holding on to that life that was really easy. It's not that easy, but something that's holding on to it. And the Lord is saying, to those that receive me, you're aggressive taking what God has promised, because the enemy is not, he's not going to sit back and just let it happen. In your mind. He can't do anything about what happened in the spirit. He should have. The Bible says that if the enemy knew what was supposed to happen, he would have never allowed Christ to die. Are y'all tracking?
Yeah.
So that deal is done. The leader of all of this has been dealt with. The insurgencies, though, still play a part in the spirit to convince you that it's not that serious. To take from aggressively, to admit closeness to. So when I receive Christ, I'm not just accepting what you did on the cross. I'm saying that I closely relate to that experience. The only way that I can relate to the cross experience that Jesus experienced is to take up my own cross. Daily. And not only to take aggressively, but to lay hold and hold on aggressively. Like, you're not taking this from me. Taking what from you? Come on, y'all.
My life.
Pastor, we didn't expect you to ask us all these questions. To take from, somebody said it, what? Your life. Your what life? Your new life in Christ. Your new life, not just in the spirit. We know in the spirit you're good, but your new life and your ability as a soul in the kingdom now, he calls us babes. Those he gave the right to become children. So that means you got to grow up into something. So I accept this new life as a babe, which means I don't really know everything, so I'm going to stay close so I understand how to operate in this life, first and foremost by making sure I'm bearing my cross to that from that old life that says, nah, you ain't got to do that. Nah, you ain't got to do this. Nah, you know that's just how you are. I love y'all. So to receive me, John 1, 11 and 12, this is this aspect of taking aggressively being laying hold of and holding on aggressively, accepting this, watch this, and receiving and collectively building up an armament in your mind. This is what this word received. This is what Jesus was saying. It's like, in the spirit, you're good, but I need you to get strong in your mind about who you, what you have from me. Get strong in your mind. Get strong in your emotions. Get strong in the area where the enemy was now strong, but he's been disposed of. And get strong because you are able now to handle all of the insurgencies that come, because they're not as equipped to deal with you as the enemy was, because he doesn't have anything to hold over you anymore. Job said this: though he slay me, yet will I what? And we know that God is not the one doing the slaying in that regard. But you know what? If my life this side of kingdom is forfeit, hey, I'm good anyway. That's faith talk, y'all. And if you're not there, it's not a knock against you. It's let's grow up. Because there are people who have no hope. And they have no way of understanding, how do I get through life?
Come on.
Are y'all tracking? That's part of this aspect of believing. He gave them the right to become children of God. That whole giving the right to become means this. I give you the right now to inhabit a mindset that says, I'm with God. That's your right to say, I'm with God. And he's with me. It's your right to walk like you are in the kingdom now. I give you the right. You didn't take that. It was established and given to you. Are you going to hold on to it? Or are you going to be like one of those people that are at the gate? You know, sometimes men, sometimes women. Y'all heard, I've heard elements of this. It's like, you know, here's my salvation, because I'm going to need to, hold that for me. I'm saved, but hold that for me. I'm going to handle what I need to handle. And once I handle them, then I come back and say, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. And we do that sometimes. And God is like, hold up, no take backs. I was trying to catch that. God says, hold up, no take backs. Either you're really in or you're really not in. Praise the Lord. Second one, follow me. If you're going to be worthy of the Lord, you've got to receive him. The second part of it is you've got to follow. Jesus says, follow me. To follow Christ is to journey first with our cross as he did with his. That's this. Satan fights hard to prevent your soul from reaching a process of sacrifice, reaching to thinking that this has got to go. Because Satan knows that at the cross, and the culmination of the cross, his power is broken.
Yes. Come on.
Yes. Is that too much? Should I simplify it? I'm going to simplify it anyway. Jesus, in his cross bearing, took on a whole bunch of stuff from the start of his arrest up until the point of being lifted up, nailed to that cross. There's a whole bunch of stuff that happened, not good stuff that happened, bearing his cross, but ultimately when he was lifted up, nailed to the cross, and he, the scripture says, gave up his soul, Satan's power was broken. So all of the journey that led up to that part, once death happened to the sin and the shame and all of that he had to bear, it ultimately was brought to an end. And Satan's power was broken over every person's life who would say yes to him. And the Lord is saying, when you bear your cross and you bring that matter to the cross and you walk through the thing and you've been lifted up, if you will, that thing, and you nailed self, whatever it is, to that cross, Satan is really not trying to get you to do that, because once that thing dies, he has no more power over you. So we continue to ask the Lord to help us to do certain things. And it's not that the Lord is not helping us. It's that he's saying, All authority has been given unto me, and now I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and no deadly thing by no means shall harm you. I give you the power. Because now you're in my kingdom, and my citizens have the ability to usurp anything of this earthly kingdom, because this earthly kingdom is beneath the kingdom of God. So watch this. Every time you default to this is how I am, you are beneath yourself.
Ooh, wow.
You have gone from citizenship in heaven of developing lords, developing kings and developing queens and developing lords. You have caused yourself to become common. This is not an arrogant statement that, I mean, there's a lot of people take that in. People walk around arrogant. No, that's not what the Lord is. In Christ, you're a new creature. So my posture is just about citizenship. I don't do that because that's beneath me. I can do it, but I don't do it. Are you not tracking? I can do it, but I don't do it. That's beneath me. I can cuss you out like a sailor. And be on point with it. I'll use words that you don't even know. And mess up your whole world. But I won't do it. Because messing up your world is beneath me.
Yes.
My job is not to mess your world up. My job is to get you to get into my world. Which is God's world. My job is to show you there's a different way to live. And have that life, as scripture in John 10:10 says, and have that life, what?
More abundantly.
Are y'all with me? So to follow the Lord is to follow and track whatever your cross is, and make sure that you make sure it comes to an end by way of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
All right, I'm going to keep moving. But write this down. If you don't choose the cross, I mean, y'all writing. If you don't choose the cross, you're not following Jesus. I'm just saying. Listen to me. This is not a question of whether you're saved or not. We're talking about your progression. I said yes to Jesus. I was sincere. I was sincere in my heart. I know he saved me. But then this aspect of I'm saved, I'm being saved, and I will be saved. The being saved and will be saved is now delayed. So this is not a question of whether you're saved or not, but it's the issue of who you're following. Last part. Worthy of me. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 7 and 26 says this very simply. God the Father declaring, be holy for I am holy. Look it up, read it. There's a lot of scriptures that reference people who inevitably cannot be holy like God is holy the way we understand it. God continually demanding that we are to be holy because he is holy. So the question is, knowing my shortcomings, how do I do this? And I do this step because it's a step up. How do I step up? By dying. By stepping down.
Come on.
By getting out of the way. By not making excuses. By reasoning of who you are, recognizing that who you are in Christ is a different person from who you are in you.
Yes.
Because we are familiar with the who we are in us. I am very familiar in who I am and what I will do and what I won't do. But in Christ, there are certain things that the Lord requires of me to do for people that in my natural, y'all can forget it. It ain't happening. I don't like you that much.
That's just true.
Let's pray right now. And I'm saying that's for us all though. Come on now. So Some of us have a higher level of what God puts in us to be able to deal with them. And some of us, we ain't got hardly nothing. and that's us in ourselves. There's nothing wrong with that, but God is saying, but in order for you to translate into kingdom life, and I'm going to use you because I know that there are people who know you when you were and you wouldn't. And they see you doing, they're like, wait a minute. How much they paying for it? What's happening here? And our declaration is, there's nothing that's happened except for my life in Christ. Like the things that I do right now, I'm doing by way of His Spirit in me. Because if it was me of myself, I wouldn't do it. I don't have that kind of love. I don't have that kind of patience. I don't have that, watch this. I don't have that kind of kindness. I don't have that kind of gentleness. I don't have that kind of self-control. Are y'all tracking?
Right.
Not your normal fruit. And God is not looking for you to bear fruit of unrighteousness, but fruit of
righteousness
in Christ, because that's the only way it gets done. So, worthy of me. Leviticus talks about this aspect of being holy, for I am holy. How I do that is in the Spirit, bearing the fruit of the Spirit, and allowing for God to show me through His Spirit what things that I have to put away or put down, as the Scripture says, or put aside or lay aside, so that He can now put into me or show me what's in me in my new life, what I'm able to do. And He doesn't keep it a secret. It's not a secret. Someone say, it's not a secret.
It's not a secret.
Turn to 1 Peter 1 for a minute. And then we're going to land. Thank you, sir. Are you there?
Yes.
I'm not. 15th verse. This is a continued thought. Yeah, I'm going to. Therefore, gird up the loins of your. What? Verse 13. First Peter, starting in verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your
mind.
Your what?
Mind.
Probably guarantee you that word mind there will translate soul, and soul means your psyche, your feeling, your emotions, and things of that nature. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon what?
Grace.
The grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your
conduct.
Because it is written, be holy, for I am. The issue of your conduct is the issue of how you carry yourselves. Who's seeing how you carry yourself? Everybody in the world. So this issue of changing things has to change in what's going on up here, so that it reflects out here. I don't do what I do because I'm a Christian. I do what I do because I'm in the kingdom. And as a citizen of the kingdom, this is how kingdom people get down. My conduct is a reflection of things that God has shown me about myself that has to go to the cross, that I have dealt with, so that I don't allow the enemy to have any power over me in that area. I give God the power by His Spirit to empower me to do and be what He's called me to be, and not me defer back to what I know I am. Worthy of me. The Greek word worthy is translated, it's very simple, but it's deep. Deserving of me. Deserving. You got to be deserving of me. This is Jesus saying this. It's like, well, Jesus, you just said I just had to accept the fact that you died on the cross. And then He said, but if you're going to live your life, you have to live your life as if what I did for you, that there was some value to it. How do I do that? Okay, this is in its translation. There's another portion of this word worthy that we don't ever hear, and that is this issue of balance. Having the balance of weight. In other words, write this down, worth to worth. So whatever it is that Jesus did, I have to bring the counterweight of what He did in my life, now that I acknowledge Him, receive Him, and I say to Him, yes, Lord, I am with You, I received You, I'm following You, then what I do in my life has to then begin to bring counterweight to what He did. That's how I show Him that I am worthy of Him. I'm going to do to the best of my ability by your Spirit what you have empowered me to do, so that when people see me, they see that there's value to being a child of God. Right now, people see absolutely no value in being a Christian. Even though there is a lot of value in it because of what Christ did that we were incapable of doing, the thing that we are capable of doing, the Lord is saying, will you show some value and worth of me in your own life so that people can begin to see the balance of what I have done, because you are a reflection of me. Your life is hid. Why y'all glad y'all know that scripture? Your life is hid
in Christ.
And Christ is saying, but if you're going to be worthy of me, where's the weight? Where's the weight that comes with that? Worth to worth. A value that I present that dictates this weight on this side that Jesus is, I'm putting on the scale, because that's how it translates. Axios, it is a weight, a scale. So what I'm doing in my life as a child of God, I'm adding the things that Christ has done so that it brings balance, worth to worth, so people can see, oh yeah, that Jesus thing, it really does work, because I can't see him, but I can see you.
Amen.
And you reflect, I reflect him.
Yep.
Man, how can you love me when I've done this, that, and the third? I'm working on weight. I'm working on my weight. So we must be sure to carry by way of the Spirit the same weight, watch this, of nature and character in our souls as Jesus did. We must be sure to carry by way of the Spirit. Doing it on your own, you're not gonna be able to counter that way. Because what Jesus did was far more than what we would even be willing to do, according to Scripture. For a friend, you might possibly consider dying for a friend. People that you don't like? People that don't like you? Who despitefully use you, talk about you. Ain't no way in heaven, in the natural, that I would even consider. But my life in Christ, he forces me to be like him. Many scriptures. Three scriptures. Write them down. 1 Corinthians 2:16. 1 Corinthians 2:16. Romans 8:6. Romans 8:6. Philippians 2:5-11. Philippians 2:5-11. What does that say, Pastor? It says, most of these, the majority of these, speak about your mind. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says this in a nutshell. Who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Romans 8:6 says, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Philippians 2:5-11. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Y'all tracking?
Mm-hmm.
May God add a blessing to the reading of his word and the teaching that has gone forth. I pray that you are inspired to understand that the things that God requires of us, it does carry a lot of weight. But by his Spirit, we are more than able to accomplish that which he gives us to do. We just have to be willing.
For more information on the teaching ministry of Pastor Rich Martin and Life Community Church, please call us at 817-468-9215 or visit us on the web at www.mylifemycommunity.org.